A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. On the next day, their leaders, elders, and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord.
Success, O Lord, grant salvation. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Johannem. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. But when it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards. Dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. Verbum Domini. Almost every week I have a parent that says to me, "My son or daughter is away from the church. I don't understand. They went to Catholic school. They got confirmed. They went to Mass with us every Sunday. What happened?" Many young people simply don't make the connection between their faith and their everyday life. Part of the problem is that we, parents, teachers, clergy, fail to live as true witnesses to the awesome power of Christ and the sacraments in our own lives. We're kind of like the apostles who had this incredible 3-year journey with Christ that seems to have worn off, and they go back to their former way of life. Why? They've seen Jesus perform incredible miracles. They know that he's risen from the dead, yet they don't seem impacted by their encounter with Christ. Same thing happens with us. We go on a retreat or attend a conference and we think, "That was awesome. I get it now. I'm going to change my life." But after a few weeks, life starts to creep back in. The temptation to look at porn, disrespecting our spouse, taking that next drink, giving into anger, jealousy, and selfishness. We get lulled into complacency and forget the words of Jesus, "Without me, you can do nothing." Yet, Jesus is patient with the apostles. Instead of doing a facepalm and saying, "Man, these guys don't get it," he met them where they are and fed them. The same is true with us. In the midst of looming deadlines at work, dirty diapers, homework, traffic jams, and moody teenagers, Jesus meets us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which strengthens us to meet life's challenges head on. The Lord is inviting us into a relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion. And our response to that invitation is to trust the Lord fully and completely by freely cooperating with the grace of the Holy Spirit given to us in the sacraments. Our Lord told St. Faustina of the mercy he wants to give to the world if only we would believe in his love. If we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we are often lukewarm at best. Sunday after Sunday, we hear the word of God and we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, and yet we walk away for the most part unchanged, knowing full well that Christ is calling us to change our lives, to become one with him, which means we must reject the opinions and thinking of the world. We allow ourselves just enough faith to be comfortable until that faith causes us to stand up for the truth that makes us uncomfortable, cowering in the fear of being rejected or unpopular. Each of us has been set apart when we were consecrated to the Most Holy Trinity on the day of our baptism. We have been set aside for a holy purpose. In order to do God's work, we cannot think or act like anyone else. We must follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our lives. This is the attitude of the apostles who preached courageously after receiving the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit we received in baptism and confirmation, rejoicing that they have been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. When we recognize and respond to the voice of the Lord calling us, then we will have the courage to speak out against the evils of abortion, euthanasia, human cloning, and embryonic stem cell research, and defend the right to life from the moment of conception until natural death. When we obey God rather than men, we will safeguard and promote family life and denounce human trafficking. When we boldly proclaim the kingdom of God, we will protect the freedom of parents regarding the education of their children and the right to exercise a well-formed conscience against the culture of woke and reestablish the Holy Family as the model of family life. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus tells Peter and all of us, "Follow me." When our young people truly meet Jesus, that encounter with Christ will change everything, as evidenced in an email I received from a teenage girl after speaking recently at her middle school and parish. She wrote, "You were the very first person in the 9 years I've been at this school to ever come here and speak about topics we don't dare discuss at school for fear of societal judgment. With the way society is now, nobody is going to help people come back to the faith unless they are evangelists. I hope you come back and talk again, because those who chose to listen got their world rocked. You completely changed my Protestant dad's spiritual thinking. Quite frankly, mine too, with your real life examples and modern day parables. What you are doing is exactly what Jesus did when he spoke through stories. Young people don't want a watered down, sugar-coated version of Catholicism. They want to hear truth. The truth that will set them free to become the person who God created them to be. In the work of boldly sharing the good news of the life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ, who is truth itself, with clarity and charity, we must always give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.